Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
It's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
That's how I know.
This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, July 26th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. On the memorial of Saints Joachim and Anne, the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the grandparents of Jesus. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Great to be with you once again after a fabulous family baseball vacation down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My many thanks to Glenn for a great job filling in all these days, along with Sarah. I want to bring in Glenn and Sarah. Good to be back with the two of you.
You know how to push all the right buttons and remember all your combinations and stuff like that? You know how to get your books and how to get to your classes?
Hey, Glenn, by the grace of God, I am up and at 'em again this morning. You know, you unplug while on vacation and you forget what 3:45 in the morning feels like.
As you should on a good vacation, my goodness. So things went well with all the baseballing?
Oh yes, it was a tremendous vacation. It was really a baseball vacation because we went down to Myrtle Beach for my son Joseph's final youth tournament at 14U. So his youth baseball career is over. It was a great time down at the Ripken Experience in Myrtle Beach, a state of the art facility and tournament. It was outstanding. Very emotional to say goodbye to all the other parents and the kids on the team, and he now moves on to high school baseball. So it's another chapter in life, and this is part of the walk. And we did find a beautiful parish while we were down there to be able to make it to Mass to put the good Lord first. But overall, I come back many shades darker, and hopefully the battery has been refreshed. So, Glenn, I understand the Holy Father continues his trip in Canada. It's one of the big stories making headlines this morning.
Certainly, as you travel for baseball, the Holy Father really thinking this trip to Canada is very important to make that apology to Indigenous people there, even though he had to cancel a trip to Africa due to dealing with his knee. He's been in a wheelchair, but still making that trip. He spoke in Edmonton yesterday making that apology, and this is the Pope through an interpreter.
Humbly beg forgiveness for the evil committed by so many Christians against the Indigenous peoples.
And he'll hold an open-air Mass this morning at Edmonton's Commonwealth Stadium as well, John.
And I'm sure that our very own Father James Kibicki will have a perspective on the Holy Father's heart for the Indigenous people in Canada, you know, since he works with the Indigenous there in the Dakotas.
Yeah, could well be. And so the Holy Father, again, he apologized while at the Vatican, but also seeing, again, it very important to make this trip. The numbers involved are just amazing. Some 150,000 school children, were involved in the system, and some 6,000, as many as 6,000, found dead. And this went on from the late 1890s all the way into the 1970s.
So what has been your take on how the Canadian people have received the Holy Father?
Well, parts of the country, French Canada, a very Catholic area still, and the Pope is going to make his way all around the country. He's in the far northwest in Edmonton right now. He'll be up into the former Northwest Territories at some point and over to Quebec as well.
And Sarah, it's good to see you once again this morning. How was holding up the fort the last week plus?
Well, we barely managed to do it, but we were able to keep all the lights on and all the guests on and play some fun music and have some great conversations, and we're happy to have you back, John.
Well, thanks so much, and we have another fabulous show on tap for you here this morning, but we always begin, as always, with prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, always through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on this show when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Revelation 3:20. Our Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." Our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to hear his voice. He knocks on the door of our hearts, inviting us to sup with him, that is, to eat his body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. Christ desires a close intimacy with us, the faithful. The question is, do we really take advantage of this gift of love, of his true presence, substantially present in the sacred host under the appearance of bread and wine in the most holy Eucharist? In fact, our U.S. bishops have begun a Eucharistic revival this year. Let's start today by opening the door of our hearts and letting our Lord Jesus feed us with the bread of life, the Holy Eucharist. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook, our email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now I want to take a moment to introduce to you to Father Daniel Mode. He's a captain in the U.S. Navy who in April assumed watch as the new head chaplain of the U.S. Coast Guard. Father Mode became the first Catholic priest in more than a decade to assume the service's top-ranking chaplain position. Joining us live from Washington, D.C. is Father Mode to discuss his new role as the new head chaplain of the U.S. Coast Guard and how he navigates between two worlds. Good morning, Father Mode. Welcome to Morning Air. It's an honor to be with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning and greetings from Washington, D.C. and United States Coast Guard headquarters.
Well, Father Mode, I'd like to talk a little bit about your career before we get into your latest position. You grew up in a military family. Take us back to those early days. What was that like growing up in a military family?
Sure. People always ask me, how long have you been in the military? And I say 56 years, because that's how old I am, because I literally grew up with an ID card in my pocket. My father was a naval officer. We call him a ship driver, a SWO, a surface warfare officer, commanded destroyers and bases like Great Lakes Naval Training Center. So I literally moved all over the world, never lived anywhere longer, even to this day, than 4 years in one place. I went to three different high schools in two different countries. That kind of sums it up, right? Kind of a missionary life. So I came by my vocation within a vocation to be a Navy chaplain kind of naturally, because the first time I was ever in a civilian parish was my senior year of high school here in Arlington, Virginia. So I only knew Navy chaplains, Navy priests, as I was growing up. So it was very naturally for me to have that kind of DNA, if you will, of the Navy in my life. I enjoyed moving about, so much so that my brother also had the same experience. I have an older brother, and my dad commissioned him as a naval officer as well, but instead of on the surface of the water, he went under the surface in submarines, and he spent his career as a nuclear officer on board nuclear submarines. And my brother then commissioned me in the Navy. So I call it military apostolic succession.
I love it. Military apostolic succession. That is outstanding. Father Mode, what is the one thing that you learned from your dad with his extensive military experience that you carry today?
Well, definitely commitment. Commitment not only to the military, but to your faith within the military, that you can have both, that you can be a very faithful man and serve your country. And I saw that very clearly. We never missed Mass on Sunday. He'd often go to daily Mass. We had the chaplains in our house, the priests. And so it was a great way, great witness to me that you can really serve your country and also serve your God.
Father Moda, you were recently appointed the head chaplain of the U.S. Coast Guard. How special was that appointment? What does it mean to you personally?
Well, it's a huge honor, one that I absolutely didn't expect, I must admit. My last posting was in Japan. I was the chaplain of the 7th Fleet, and my sights were kind of set on staying in that AOR, as we call it, the area of responsibility. And it seemed like that was going to be my trajectory as I continued in the chaplain corps. However, our chief of chaplains, who's the chief of Navy chaplains, Admiral Greg Todd, who actually had this position two positions ago, chose me, and I'm very honored to have this position. It's an amazing gift to represent certainly all the chaplains within the Coast Guard to the Commandant of the Coast Guard, who is Admiral Linda Fagan.
And Father Mode, as chaplain, can you talk a little bit about all the different main responsibilities that you have in this new role?
Sure. The biggest responsibility I have is to manage the chaplains within the Coast Guard. All chaplains in the Coast Guard are Navy chaplains. So the Coast Guard doesn't have their own organic chaplains, nor does the Marine Corps. So Navy chaplain can serve the Navy, the Marine Corps, and the Coast Guard, and I served all three branches of service, which means I have 45 different uniforms in my closet. So Central Casting can always call me up, and I'm ready to play the Marines, the Coast Guard, and the Navy. But in this role, we have 47 chaplains of all different denominations who are active duty. Then I have another 5 reserve chaplains. So there are part-time ministers around the country and then serve on weekends and 2 weeks at a time in the reserve forces. And then I have a very special group of people called the auxiliarists, so Auxiliary Chaplain Support Program. So these are ministers, and they volunteer to become a part of an auxiliary for the Coast Guard, and there's 93 of them. So total, I have just shy of 150 chaplains that I manage all throughout the continental United States as well as Hawaii. And we just approved our next billet for Guam. So really kind of a global reach caring for the nearly 88,000 civilians, active duty reservists within the Coast Guard.
And Father Mode, of those 150 chaplains, how many approximately are Catholic?
There are exactly 3 of us that are active duty Catholic. So I'm one of them. We have a Catholic priest at the United States Coast Guard Academy, which is up in New London, Connecticut, which is the only other job I had within the Coast Guard. I served as a Catholic priest at the Academy. And then we have another Catholic priest active duty who serves at our training base for the enlisted, so their boot camp, which is Cape May, New Jersey. We do have others that are contracted that help us on weekends at different bases for the Coast Guard. And we do have 2 auxiliary Catholic priests that serve in that role.
And Father Mode, can you talk a little bit about what it takes to be a chaplain, some of the qualities that you want for a chaplain to really minister to the Coast Guard and the military?
I always say that the most important quality that a chaplain needs to have is a missionary spirit. So all of us are ministers, but not all of us are called to be missionaries. And what's a missionary? And this is the best definition I've ever come up with as a missionary, and I didn't come up with it. It's actually an expression of the Marinoles, who are a missionary-oriented society. A missionary is one who's sent to where they are needed, but not necessarily wanted, and they're to stay until they're wanted, but not necessarily needed. In other words, you are sent to a people that you don't necessarily know, and they don't know you, all over the world. You're wearing different uniforms, so you're literally putting on their clothes, whether it's the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard, or the Navy, in this case, or the Army or the Air Force, if you're in those branches. And then you're learning their language, because they all have a unique, different language. Even within the Navy, there's a different language for people who serve on aircraft carriers, as opposed to destroyers or cruisers or on a base. And certainly there's a language within the Coast Guard. And you got to learn that language, just like a good missionary would going to a foreign country. And then you're literally living with the people. You're putting, as our Holy Father often says, you know, you're smelling like the sheep. Chaplains really smell like the sheep. They're missionaries. They live, work, and dress and talk like those that they are serving. And if you have those qualities, that hunger, that spiritual drive, that makes a great chaplain.
We're joined this morning by Father Daniel Mode from our nation's capital, the new head chaplain of the U.S. Coast Guard. Father, how different is your role as a chaplain and at the same time similar to that of a parish priest in a typical parish?
Well, similarities are obvious. I'm always a priest. Today I have Mass here at the headquarters. Yesterday I had Mass. I hear confessions. People come to me for counseling. I'm going to be doing a baptism here shortly. So all the things that a normal pastor priest would do for their congregation. So I'm always providing for my own. But also as a chaplain, I'm facilitating for others because I could have somebody walk into my office that is of no faith or of a different faith, and then I facilitate for them, either get them a chaplain of their same denomination or faith, or a lot of times they're coming to me with general issues or problems that maybe I can listen and help them with that have nothing to do necessarily with the faith. Those are the things that are kind of different, but also very much the same that any priest would do in their daily ministries.
Father Mode, I read that as the first Catholic in your role in the past 12 years, one of your first acts was to set up a prayer room next to your office with a tabernacle reserved with the Blessed Sacrament. Can you talk about how important this was for you?
It's so important. Matter of fact, when I got the call that to be ready for to go on air this morning, the call came while I was sitting with our Lord in the prayer room and with the Blessed Sacrament. I start my day off usually. Sometimes I have to do it at night, but I try to always make at least a half hour meditation before the Blessed Sacrament, wherever I'm at in the world. Another thing, I've been ordained a priest for 30 years, and I've never missed offering the Mass every single day, except obviously for Good Friday when we don't celebrate Mass per se. But the Eucharist is central and focused to my life as a priest and certainly as a chaplain. I loved your prayer about, you know, seeking really the bread of life at the beginning and the scripture that you mentioned. At the beginning of this interview, it's central to our lives as Catholic Christians, and it's certainly central to my life as a Catholic priest.
Thank you, Father Mode. I really appreciate that. You know, the good Lord puts it on my heart what scriptures to start the show with, and for some reason I wasn't exactly sure. I knew there was some connection that it was meant to be to talk about our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, which obviously the bishops are recognizing here in this Eucharistic revival that we're living in. Can you talk a little bit about having been on the front lines over the years, you know, flying all those many 300 plus missions in Afghanistan, being shot down in a helicopter, all the different ships, from the Persian Gulf to Guantanamo Bay to Japan? You talk about smelling like the sheep. You've been with the sheep.
I certainly have. It's not a dull life as a chaplain. Sometimes I reflect back on it. I go, I can't believe I've actually done all that. But yeah, I've been in 92 different countries. I've lived in 6 of them, including, as you mentioned, Afghanistan, Korea, Japan, Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Fascinating areas of our world. I've celebrated Mass at sea on 49 different ships, different named ships. Celebrated Mass, heard confessions, done counseling at sea, which I think is a record of any Navy chaplain. I've been assigned to 3 ships in my life, the Kennedy, the George Washington, which are both aircraft carriers, and then the Blue Ridge, which is the flagship of the 7th Fleet, which I just came from. So I have over 7 years of sea time, which again is an extraordinary record for any chaplain to have. And then my time deployed in war zones. I spent almost 2 straight years in Afghanistan, going to 51 different forward operating bases, traveling, as you said, on nearly 300 missions, bringing the sacraments to the front lines. That always gave me energy and joy. And again, going back, what's a chaplain? A missionary. So instead of getting on a horse, going to my different mission posts, I get on helicopters and boats, and all sorts of ways that really the government and the military goes at extreme lengths to provide care, pastoral care, religious ministry to our forces.
Well, Father Mode, obviously you've had a storied career. What's most impressive to me is you've never missed Mass in all those 30 years being in all those places. I'm just curious, do the Coast Guard personnel, do they first think of you as a chaplain, or do any of them refer to you as captain?
I get so many different titles. So in the course of a day, I'll be called captain, chaplain, father. Actually, most people here at the headquarters call me father. I always just say, don't call me late for dinner.
I love it. Father Mode, I so much appreciate you being with us. It's been a joy, and we have to have you come back on. There's so much more that we can talk about. I'd love to talk about your vocation to the priesthood and how you heard the Lord as a little boy, as an eighth grader, which is my son's age. He just graduated from eighth grade. So that sounds like it would be a fabulous discussion for the next time we get together. But again, thanks for being with us.
Hey, you're welcome, and God's blessing on you, your ministry, and certainly to all the faithful that are listening. And if I may offer a quick blessing, may Almighty God bless and keep you always in His tender care, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you too. Father Daniel Mode, captain of the U.S. Navy and the new head chaplain of the U.S. Coast Guard. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, theologian Dr. Hector Marquez will join us from San Juan, Puerto Rico to discuss 7 reasons to pray the Holy Rosary. Stay with us as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant.
Looking at life through a Catholic lens. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
Get connected to the conversation. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say, it's all right.
And good morning. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and Sarah Tafoya. Hey, a special birthday wishes to Sarah. It's her birthday today, and we'll celebrate a little bit later in the show. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you on this Tuesday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. I want to switch gears now and talk about the Holy Rosary, what I like to call the prayer of the gospel. Our greatest spiritual fathers and mothers were devoted to the rosary. St. John Paul II, St. Maximilian Kolbe, Mother Teresa, Padre Pio, St. Therese the Little Flower, and on, so many others that were devoted to the rosary. In fact, the great Marian saint, St. Louis Marie Grignon de Montfort, emphasized this daily prayer of the Holy Rosary in one of his books about this devotion called The Secret of the Rosary. St. Louis shared 7 powerful reasons why he prayed the rosary every day. In Crossing the Threshold of Hope, St. John Paul II wrote, "Thanks to St. Louis de Montfort, I came to understand that true devotion to the Mother of God is actually Christocentric. Indeed, it is very profoundly rooted in the mystery of the Blessed Trinity and the mysteries of the Incarnation and Redemption." Joining us now live from San Juan, Puerto Rico is Morning Air contributor and theologian Dr. Hector Marquez to talk about these seven reasons to pray the Holy Rosary. Dr. Marquez holds graduate degrees in law and theology. He's adjunct professor of theology and religious studies at Universidad Central de Bayamón. Dr. Marquez is also a lay Dominican, and he currently serves as the master formation for the Dominican Laity of Puerto Rico. Good morning, Dr. Marquez. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. Thank you for having us with you today again. And good morning to all our audience, and especially this is a very special day because it's for us grandparents. I am a grandparent, so it's Grandparents' Day because of today we celebrate the feast of Saints Joaquin and Anna.
Absolutely. And we're actually going to talk about the significance of that feast a little bit later in the second hour of our program. But Dr. Marquez, before we talk about the Holy Rosary and all the many reasons why we should pray the Rosary, as a theologian, as really as a Marian theologian, what does the Holy Rosary mean for you personally?
Well, for me, it is part of my life, John. It's just like breathing for me. I pray the Rosary as many times as I can every day. I'd say that the day I two are the minimum rosaries I pray every day, one in the morning and one in the evening. But every time I get a chance, while I'm traveling in the car, while I'm waiting somewhere, and it gives me a feeling of closeness with our Lord Jesus Christ through His Mother Mary. It's part of my life. It's like breathing.
I love it. That is true passion, like breathing. I know that St. Louis de Montfort has influenced your life and influenced, as I mentioned at the beginning, so many other saints over the centuries. Can you give us just a brief a summary of St. Louis de Montfort and his influence on the devotion to our Blessed Mother?
Yes, St. Louis de Montfort was a 16th, 17th century French priest. And he was a very good confessor also. By the way, most of the very good confessors, like Padre Pio, they were very devout prayers of the Rosary. He was made an apostolic missionary by Pope Clement XI. And besides his devotion to the Blessed Mary, Virgin Mary, he was also known for his veneration of the angels, especially the guardian angels. But he is most known for his Marian writings. He was such a devout lover of Our Lady. As a matter of fact, I became in love with the Rosary when I was reading once while John Paul II was Pope. He wrote in one of his writings, he talked about how St. Louis Marie de Montfort influenced his devotion to the Virgin Mary and how it clarified many aspects of that devotion. So I delved into it. I read especially the first one I read, which was the treatise on the true devotion of the Rosary, and that made me fall in love with Our Lady and with the Rosary. John, we cannot be Catholic if we do not love our Mother Mary and we do not pray the Rosary every day.
Absolutely, and that's something that we do here at Relevant Radio every single night here at 7 p.m. Central Time. Father Rocky and Margaret lead the Rosary across America, and there is hundreds of thousands of people that pray along with Father Rocky every day. So if you can't pray it on your own for whatever reason, it's great to pray it together with our Relevant Radio family here every night of the week. And you can also watch it on YouTube, which is also really uplifting to be able to see it on a TV screen as well. Dr. Marquez, can you run us through the seven reasons that St. Louis de Montfort taught about why we should pray the Rosary? Let's begin with the first reason that we should pray the Rosary every day.
Yeah, the first reason is that it gradually gives us a perfect knowledge of Jesus Christ. As you were saying earlier, the rosary is a Christocentric prayer, which makes us contemplate the mysteries of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, which make us get to know him better. And the more we get to know him, the more we love him, and the more we understand his teachings. And when we do this, guided by the hand of Our Lady, it gives us a tenderness which only a mother can give us while leading us to her son. So it gives us that knowledge because, you know, praying the rosary is not just recitating the Hail Mary and the Our Fathers and the glory. It's just that we have to contemplate the mysteries. And I learned that from John Paul II, that every time we recite a mystery, I take a couple of minutes to contemplate, especially contemplate a passage of the scripture that relates to that mystery. And that gives us a better understanding and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. I, too, learned the same thing from St. John Paul II and Dr. Marquez, you know, meditating on each mystery and the many scriptures associated with each mystery. It really brings the rosary to life. It really makes it the prayer of the gospel because it really is a school of Christian life, as St. De Montfort taught.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I recite a different scripture passage every time I contemplate one of the mysteries, and that makes it kind of a like a lectio divina, because we contemplate the mystery, a passage of the life of our Lord, an episode from the life of our Lord.
You mentioned the word Christocentric prayer. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, because some people think that the rosary is centered around Our Lady. And no, the rosary is a Christocentric prayer. It means that it revolves around the person of Jesus Christ, and it also allows us to connect with him while we recite the Hail Marys. We recite the Hail Marys while we think about that mystery, and that makes us, she helps us make a connection with his son that otherwise we wouldn't be able to make it. That's why most of the great saints were devout, had a great devotion to the Holy Rosary.
We're joined this morning by theologian Dr. Hector Marquez from San Juan, Puerto Rico, Master of Formation for the Dominican Lady of Puerto Rico. We're talking about seven reasons to pray the Holy Rosary. Dr. Marquez, let's talk about the second reason.
Yeah, the second is it purifies our souls, washing away sin. We know that prayer, especially when helps us do penance in order to obtain the forgiveness of our sins. And the Holy Rosary, especially since we are contemplating the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and led by the hand of his mother and our mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, helps us understand that we cannot continue to offend our Lord with our sins, and gives us the strength to fight temptation, not only wash away our sins, but also it's a very powerful weapon to fight temptation.
And that's something that our Blessed Mother at Fatima reminded the children and reminded us about the power of the rosary. There's a reason why she asked us to try to pray the rosary every day.
Yes.
Let's talk about the third reason why we call the rosary the most powerful weapon against evil.
Yeah, the third reason is that it gives us victory over our enemies. And that includes our spiritual enemies, which is demonstrated by all exorcists agree that the devil trembles every time they mention the name of Mary and every time we pray the rosary. And it also helps us against our worldly enemies. And the best example is the Battle of Lepanto on 7 October 1571, when the Christian fleet, the Holy League, faced the Ottoman Empire, greatly outnumbered, and Pope Pius V, Dominican Pope, urged all Christianity to pray the rosary, as well as the sailors on that fleet. And they were praying the rosary, and in the most decisive moment of the battle, when the Ottoman Empire greatly outnumbered the Christian fleet, they miraculously turned around and simply left the battle. So, and that is a greatest example of the power of the Holy Rosary against our worldly enemies, besides our spiritual enemies.
These are very convincing, very powerful reasons to pray the Rosary as taught by St. Louis de Montfort. Let's talk about the fourth reason why we need to pray the Rosary.
Yeah, it makes us easy for us to practice virtue. As you know, virtue disposes us to act according to the teachings of Christ and the Church Magisterium, guiding us in our way to salvation by imitating our Lord and the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is, the more we pray the Rosary, the more we contemplate the mysteries, and the more we become one with Our Lady. When we recite the Hail Marys, we grow in virtue, and that helps us on our way to salvation, led by our Blessed Mother.
In addition to reciting the scripture verses through all the different mysteries, we have to also remember that the actual prayers, the Hail Mary, the Our Father, the Glory Be, these are right out of sacred scripture. So those two are also the inspired word of God that we pray along as we meditate on the life of Christ.
Yes, and that takes us to the fifth reason, which is it sets us on fire with love of our Blessed Lord. Because as we meditate the mysteries, plus the mystery of incarnation, which we have in the salutation of the angel, which that fills our heart with the fire of his love, allowing us to share that love with all who cross our paths. So definitely, the rosary sets our souls on fire.
And at the end of the day, that's really what our Lord wants. He wants our hearts. He wants us to be on fire for his heart. I want to invite our listeners, if you want to be part of our conversation with our good friend, regular contributor, and theologian Dr. Hector Marquez on the reasons why you should pray the Rosary, if you want to share your own experiences of the Holy Rosary, of why you pray the Rosary, we're taking your calls for Dr. Marquez, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with Dr. Hector Marquez. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Looking at life through a Catholic lens, this is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. It's great to be with you once again. First day back from a little vacation as we continue our conversation with theologian Dr. Hector Marquez, who is joining us live from San Juan, Puerto Rico. He's the Master of Formation for the Dominican Laity of Puerto Rico. We've been discussing the seven reasons to pray the Holy Rosary as taught by St. Louis de Montfort. And Dr. Marquez, we've gone over the first five reasons. What is the sixth reason that we should pray the Holy Rosary?
Yeah, this is one of the most important for me because it says the sixth reason is that it enriches us with graces and merits. That sounds like a very simple statement, John, but it is so profound, especially when we make reference. There is another great, it's not a saint, it's a blessed Alain de la Roche, the founder of the Confraternity of the Holy Rosary, a Dominican priest, who was a very devout, as a matter of fact, he was the one that made the rosary known all around the world together with the Dominican Order, which are the custodians and preachers of the Holy Rosary, as stated by John Paul II. And in a revelation to the Blessed Alain de la Roche, Our Lady made 15 promises to those who pray the rosary. And those 15 promises, when we go through them, we could make a program about that some other time, but there are so many graces that we get from praying the rosary. But the most important one is that I could quote from Lucia dos Santos, you know, one of the children of Fatima, that Our Lady said to her, "There is no problem, no matter how difficult it is, whether temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us, of our families, that cannot be solved by the rosary. There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the Holy Rosary." And I can give you so many instances in my life where that has been the case. The rosary gives us graces and merits, first, to understand and really appreciate all that our Lord does for us in our lives every day, even small things that we take for granted. That grace allows us to appreciate the love of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ for us in every single aspect of our life, and gives us the merits necessary to gain the grace to obtain salvation. That is a very, very powerful reason to pray the rosary every day, John.
Dr. Marquez, I had no idea that you were going to quote Sister Lucia of Fatima. In fact, I actually keep a beautiful little holy card with the image of the three children and Our Lady of Fatima with that very quote right here next to my microphone. It's with me all the time as a little reminder of the power of the rosary. There's no problem, no matter how difficult, that can't be solved by the rosary. It's a great reminder. And you're right indeed. The 15 promises to the Blessed Mother to us Catholic Christians to pray the rosary could be a whole nother show. Could you just give us just a couple of examples of those 15 promises?
The first one: whosoever shall faithfully serve me by the recitation of the rosary shall receive signal graces. A signal grace may be a simple sign in daily life, just what I was talking to you about, that answers a question made in prayer or points towards God's will. You know, every time, we must remember, our Lord was taught us to pray. He prayed during all his life. Every time he was going to take a big, very important decision, he prayed. Before he chose the 12 apostles, he prayed. Every time, his life was surrounded by prayer. And what better prayer than the prayer of our Lord, the prayer that he taught us himself, plus our veneration of his mother, by reciting the salutation of the Annunciation. That really gives us the opportunity to see all the signs that he puts in our lives every day. The second one, which is very important, is: I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all those who shall recite the rosary. And we could continue, but I know that we are very short on time.
Yeah, we're like you said, we're going to have to do a whole nother segment on those 15 promises, but they're all very powerful, given to Blessed Alan and also St. Dominic and the Dominican Order. What is the seventh reason, according to St. Louis de Montfort, to pray the Rosary daily, Doctor?
Yes, the seventh reason basically summarizes all the previous ones. It says it supplies us what is needed to pay all our debts to God and to our fellow men. And finally, it obtains all kinds of graces for us from Almighty God. I guess, although this is self-explanatory, it summarizes all the previous six because it talks about the graces we receive by praying the rosary and, of course, the payment of our debts to God and to our fellow men. That has to do with the forgiveness of sins and with the when we have to make amends with our with our fellow men, with our brothers and sisters, every time we fail, because we fail every day. We are sinners. That brings to mind the words of Pope Francis in his first interview, which really shocked me. The first question the reporter asked him was, who is Francis? And he said, a sinner. Two words. And that set the tone for his papacy. And that reminds us that we sin every day, and with the rosary we can get the forgiveness of our sins when we go to confession, and it helps us fight off the temptation.
Dr. Marquez, we have a caller. France is joining us from our nation's capital, from Washington, D.C. Good morning, France. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Dr. Marquez.
Good morning, Dr. Marquez. My question is, how do you feel about the luminous mysteries that were not part of the original mysteries that were revealed?
Yes, the luminous mysteries were added by Saint John Paul II. And as a matter of fact, if we read the document, it says that they are optional. But they have complete these mysteries in the sense that they give fullness to the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are very important episodes of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, which were not included in the original mysteries. And in my opinion, I recite them. I recite them every Thursday when they are to be recited. And I think they were a good addition. And remember, St. John Paul II was a very devout Marian. The Holy Spirit inspired him to establish those luminous mysteries.
Thanks so much, France. Appreciate the call. Dr. Marquez, we're just about out of time. About 30 seconds, a final thought on praying the rosary.
Pray the rosary every day, at least once a day, and you will see a great change in your life. You will feel the presence of our Mother accompanying you every minute of your life, and it will help you get to the most difficult moments in your life, and it will also enhance all the great happiness that you get in life. Every time something very good happens to you, pray the rosary and give thanks to the Lord and to Our Lady for her intercession.
Thank you so much, Dr. Marquez. Really appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me, John. And if you want more information about the rosary, you can visit, and you're Spanish speaking, of course, you can visit our YouTube page, De La Mano de Maria TV in YouTube. And we have lots of short 3-minute videos about different aspects of the Holy Rosary.
Thanks again, Dr. Hector Marquez. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Those Cookies Spoke a Million Words. It happened a couple years back, one April, when Lexi Wright of Missouri City, Texas, was 14. She was riding home from school on the bus, and she knelt on the seat to braid a friend's hair. Kneeling on a bus seat is not allowed, and the driver
stopped the bus and yelled at Lexi for 10 minutes in front of the other kids. Of course, Lexi went into her house crying and told her mom, Holly Wright, what happened. But that's not the end of the story. Lexi's mom had a novel idea to solve the problem. She felt the driver's anger may be rooted in some personal problem, so she suggested Lexi respond with love and bake cookies for her. They made a batch of cookies, and the next morning Lexi offered the bus driver her cookies. She watched the driver's reaction and was stunned. The woman's heart seemed to melt at the gesture. As she sat behind the wheel in disbelief, Holly wrote, the driver was so moved that Lexi didn't need to offer her a hug. The driver asked her for one. Trust me when I say those cookies spoke a million words. Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez Sardina will explain why Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus, plus Professor Harry Kramer on the impact of grandparents on our lives. Stay with us. There's much more to come next hour here on Morning Air.